Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you might bless us. We read the Holy Scriptures in the King James Version for the English-speaking people. Help us, Lord, to be able to understand and apply to our own personal lives. Thank you for giving us a perfect book. A book that's alive. A book that can speak spiritual things to our spiritual soul. I pray, Lord, that you might open our eyes, and Lord, that we might be in tune with what you want to do with our lives and our church this morning. Have your blessing as the preaching goes forth. Now, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to go all the way to the end of the passage of the chapter. It's a long chapter, 58 verses in 1 Samuel 17. But I want us to go to verse 54. It says, "And David took the head of the Philistine," that's Goliath, "and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.'" The story of David and Goliath. That's not what I'm going to be preaching on this morning, but looking into David in this situation. He's the only one that stood up against Goliath, finally cut off his head, and here we see that he took that head of the Philistine, which Goliath was, and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the armor of the giant in his tent. And Saul, he's the king, and he said, "Abner, who is this? Who is this youth?" He's a teenager. What a question. Out of nowhere appears David in the Bible. I've entitled this message, "Who is this?" Because God loves to use people that nobody knows anything about. They're in the background. And backgrounds are important. In other words, Abner's saying, "Who's this kid? Who's his family? Where did he come from? Whose son is he? Who's his father?" And Abner obviously didn't know. Who is this gangly boy that goes out and stands against this giant? David is sudden on the scene. Just appears out of nowhere. Boom! David in the Bible. We know how great he became. We know that all of Israel proudly carries the flag with the sign of David on it. Greatest king that Israel ever had. But it wasn't so here. You talk about humble beginnings, brother. Here it's talking about him walking into Jerusalem, hanging on to the hair of a giant, and that must have been a big head for sure. He was 9'9". Anybody ever play basketball? The hoop on a basketball is 10 feet. He was almost as tall as that basketball rim. Wow. You talk about, who is this? You never know who this is till he grows up and God has his way within his life. He was an unknown. So this message applies to everybody that's sitting in a pew this morning. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if no one knows who you are. Those that are listening on the internet, even today as well. God has a message for you this morning. Me, I'm an old blood and guts kind of guy. Boy, I like to get involved in real fighting and so forth, and the things that go in. I don't shy away from that. But that's just me. But for sure, this story is right down my alley for sure. Even Hollywood can't portray something as terrible as we're going to read this morning through the story of David and Goliath. Look at verse 56. The king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you? Art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." What do we know Bethlehem about? The birthplace of our Savior. There's a connection between David and Jesus and what God was doing. A lot of things connect in the Bible, but we're not aware of it until someone brings it out. You could call this David not being known to being the hero of the whole nation of Israel. You could call it a zero to a hero. Amen. A zero, nobody knows him. Zero means nothing. Maybe you think you're nothing. Not so. Not if you let God in, take down your shield that you have, and obey God and follow him no matter what you're called to do. What is a hero? The dictionary says it's one that has distinguished valor. He's intrepid. In other words, he charges right in. He has character. He's able to encounter danger with firmness. A hero shows bravery, prowess. A hero stands out among the crowd. He's got a certain quality. He doesn't blink. He doesn't shudder, shake, or stammer. He just goes after it. The prisoner of wars that we've had over the decades, need to read some of those stories if you haven't already. You need to respect our POWs and the things that they had to go through for our freedom, for our country. A hero. It's not a football player. Football player is not your hero. You're not a hero at all. Or a basketball player or a baseball player. They aren't even going to the rank and level of a real hero. One that would give up their life or give up their limbs, give up their freedom, be tortured for years so that you could sit in a church with the Bible and be able to hear the truth. That's what a hero is. All of these sports players, they're usually just beer drinking, dope smoking, fornicating infidels. But a real hero has to be one that you would look up to, because he looks death square in the face. And he does it for the country. He does it for the land that he loves. I hope you love America. I hope you love your freedom and don't take advantage of it, because it can be taken away anytime. You'll be thinking a different thing. You won't have a proud look on your face then. Go to chapter 17 and verse 1. Let's see how this all starts. We're going to read through this thing. And with that introduction, I want you to see David as one that nobody ever knew. In verse 1 it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belonged to Judah, and picked between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesdamin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines." So you see here that this is going to be a battle. Two armies against each other. And drop down to verse 4. It says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." You figure that out, it's 9'9". "And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail." That doesn't mean he was a mailman. It means that he had on a whole vesture of different metal that would resist arrows and spears and things like that, piercing that. And he was wearing that. Can you imagine the weight of all of that? Because it says, following, "And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass." That's 125 pounds. Just for the coat of mail. "And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him." the shield bearer was one that went along and put the shield up in front of him if he needed it. Wow, can you imagine all of that weight? This guy was a complete monster. I mean, this is something you can't even imagine. The Bible has so many things in it that are breathtaking. It just grabs our attention if we're paying attention. He had just the head of the spear, not the whole spear, just the head of it, 24 pounds. It's about the weight of a watermelon at the store. Good size watermelon. Can you imagine having a spear which you would throw with that kind of weight? That's what was going on. And the Bible says that he went out every day. He gathered and he went out every day against the army of Israel. See there, verse 8. It says, and he stood and cried the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. In other words, he's saying, you give me the toughest guy you've got, the strongest, one of your servants, doesn't matter who it is, you bring him up. Catch it at verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Have you ever been afraid of something? Real fear. Many times, especially in America, we don't even come into situations where we're afraid. We stay away from things where we might be put in danger and so forth. So many of us don't even know what real fear is. But here the king was afraid. And he was taller than any of the others in the army. He was head and shoulders, the Bible says, over others. Boy, he wasn't going to go out. Nobody moved an inch. Now enter the hero. Who's the toughest, strongest, bravest that's going to walk out and face that guy? Look at verse 12. It says, now David was the son that Ephraim of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. So here's a family of boys that grew up to be men. David was the youngest. He was the shrimp. I mean, he was the zero in the family. Nobody respected him or anything else. He was a zero. He was a nothing. Verse 13. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle was Eliab, the firstborn, unto him, next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. So here the oldest brothers are already in this army of Israel. Did they go and face the giant? No, they didn't. they never would guess who would go. Look at verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. That's more than 5 weeks, folks. And Jesse said unto David, son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to the brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Enter the hero. But nobody knew he was a hero. He was still zero to everybody. He was the servant of the whole family because he was the youngest. And his father called him from the field, watching sheep, to go ahead and give some snacks to the brethren, to his own brother. But boy, the giant seemed confident. The 3 oldest was in the army, but the giant stood and defied God. He defied God's people, the army of Israel. Look at verse 20. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. I like this about David. You could see his character already. He had responsibilities with that sheep. He made sure someone else was taking his place, for he was to feed those sheep and protect those sheep. And he made sure that they were taken care of while he went to here before Saul and before Goliath. He didn't know any of this was going on, of course, as he walked into that. You can see what kind of heart that David had. And boy, that's part of being a hero. Let everything be done decently and in order. The Bible tells us there in the epistles in the New Testament. And that's how you need to live your life as well. If you got responsibilities you need and you can't meet those responsibilities for any reason, you need to make sure someone else is doing it. You just don't walk out on your responsibilities. Verse 23. It says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. He's defying God. He's been doing this for over 5 weeks, 40 days, cursing and swearing and defying God. It's the first time David's hearing of this. He's wondering why his older brothers and even the king wouldn't go out and do something about it. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Everybody, the men of Israel, they were scared. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. Wow. You talk about an incentive. Boy, the king says, you're gonna be able to marry into the family. You won't have to pay taxes anymore in your whole life if you kill this man. And I'll give you all kinds of money, riches. In verse 26, David spake to the men and stood by, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And taketh away the reproach from Israel, his country. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know what you're seeing right here? You are seeing the development of a hero. The development of a little teenage boy become a man. More of a man than all of the men in the whole army of Israel. I want you to notice three things in the development of a hero. David, as we look at him. First of all, heroes say what no one else will say. A hero will say something no one else will stand up and say. Look at what it says in verse 27. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Guess what? When you start to be a hero, when you start to have those attributes that I read to you before, there'll always be someone there to put you down. Amen. He hasn't done anything yet except say what no one else in the whole army would say. And you're put down. That's what happened to David because he was a zero as far as the family was concerned. But he's going to go from zero to a hero real quick. That's what's happening here. This is why this contest of David and Goliath is so important, that we might learn from it. David speaks up. Nobody else spoke up. But he spoke up. You know, there comes a time even in your life, if you're going to be honorable, if you're going to be a hero in God's eyes and others, you're going to have to speak up. There's going to come a day when you're going to say, turn that radio off. Way too loud. You'll have to say, quit that gossip, slander and rumors. You're going to have to say, don't go there. You better quit that. It's not right. Even when it's not popular with those that you're around at that time, if you're going to be a hero, if you're going to stand for God, you're going to have to say things that other people won't say. You'll have to stand up for God. Look at verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? In other words, don't you think this is worthy? Is there not a cause of this uncircumcised giant Philistine defying our God? How much are you going to take? That's what he was saying in verse 29, and then verse 30 he said, and he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him, again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. Saul, the king, didn't hear him at first. But the grown men, they didn't do anything but go and tattletale to the king. You know, this zero that's in Jesse's family, the youngest of eight big adult men? Look at verse 32. David said to the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Again, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have to stand up for God. You're going to have to say, I don't care what you think. Here's how it's going to be. A lot of parents have to learn that too with their kids. The kids don't run the family. The father runs the family. You have to be a hero. We're the grown men. You're going to have to say, I'm not going any further with you. You're in a compromising position. You're going to have to say, take me home. You're going to have to say, I'm not going to be a part of this. You see, you're going to have to grow a backbone if you're going to be a hero. This is what David was doing. He had pushback from his own family. You stand up for the Lord and you start telling them about the gospel and everything else, you'll get pushed back. They'll be against you. They'll gossip against you and everything else. But they want you to be loyal to them, of course. David was one that would say something that no one else would say. He's a hero. The second thing a hero would do that defines a hero is he sees what no one else sees. Not only is he going to say what no one else will say, he sees what no one else will see. So some people just kind of float through life, it seems. They don't even see what's right in front of them. Recognize the problem. A hero will. Look at verse 29. It says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Because what was Goliath doing? What was this Philistine doing? He was bad-mouthing God. David wouldn't have any of it. He's amazed. He's shocked that nobody in the army is doing anything about this. Each one of us need to allow God to let us see the things that are going on in the background, in our families, in our nation, in what we call politics. Politics are good if you've got good men behind them. It'll take a hero to be able to see what's going on right in front of your face. Don't be afraid of politics. Get the right people in. God is the one that instituted human government. Three things that God is the one that started. He started the family. Right? Adam and Eve. He started the family. Then he started justice as well. And then he went ahead and started human government. So we need to follow that up and be a hero. Stand up for the things that are right. In Washington today, we have senators and representatives against Israel. They're bad-mouthing God, just like Goliath, saying that the Hamas terrorists are okay and you shouldn't invade them and bring justice for all of those Israelites that were killed by them. A hero is going to see what no one else sees. You can see when you have a church that's like a clique. They only hang around themselves. They don't care about visitors that might come in. They won't go over and sit with that visitor and be able to share their Bible with them. They won't introduce themselves. They won't see the complaining that is going on and gossip that's going on, the murmuring and the griping and the mediocrity and the disrespect. Only a hero will see that. You got to see through what's going on. Look at verse 32. David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. That's what this was all about. This David and Goliath situation. Do you know what David just did? He gave his history of what he did before today. I took care of those sheep well. I put my whole life in danger against those two, the sheep or the lion and the bear. He always had his sling along. He always had his weapon with him. You're out there watching sheep, that can get pretty boring. Just watching them graze and so forth. You know what he was doing? He wasn't wasting his time daydreaming. He was practicing with his sling. He got so good with that sling, he could take out anything. Day after day, year after year, watching those slings. What was going on? God put him in that position to prepare for this time that God brought him to before Goliath. God was working with him way before. Nobody knew anything about Zero David, this no name. Even the king didn't know. Even the guys in the army, they didn't know. Abner didn't know. Only his three brothers knew, and they had no respect for him at all. He practiced hours honing on his skills that God gave him. He improved his ability. And God did bless him. Look at verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the bear He will deliver me. But the hand of this Philistine, out of the hand of this Philistine, and Saul said unto him, David, go, and the Lord be with thee. The king is saying, God bless you, David. You couldn't believe what this David was saying. A hero will say what nobody else will say. A hero will always see what nobody else sees. Don't you see the cause? Don't you see what's in front of you? It's amazing how many cowards we have. Cowards in churches. Won't even speak up. Won't even be counted. Won't obey. We see it in America. How many cowards just live for themselves. They don't see the importance of life and the importance of everything that's going on around them. Let me give you the third thing. Third and last thing about a hero. A hero will stand where no one else will stand. You gonna go put yourself in front of Goliath? Everybody watching? You talk about faith. David understood that God had prepared him out in the field when nobody knew he was preparing for this time. But David did. He said, I've got the sling and I'll take you down. Look at verse 39. And David girded his sword upon his armor and he essayed to go. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, I haven't tested them. And David put them off. He took off the armor. And he took his staff in his hand. His staff, that would be a shepherd's staff. All it is a branch of a tree. It's a rod that he would, you know, be able to use as a weapon up close. But his far away weapon was his sling. So it tells you right there what he did. He took his staff in his hand and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in a script, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You say, Pastor, why did he pick 5 stones? Did he think he'd miss, or? No, he knew that Goliath had 4 other brothers. And after he was going to take care of Goliath, he knew he'd have to take care of these other 4 giants too. So he gave up and went ahead and picked up 5 stones. And when he went out in front of him, wow, that made the giant even madder than he was before. Verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. So the Philistines running toward David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. He was probably had red hair, and a fair skin, like a redhead would have. In verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. No one else would stand where David was standing. That's what makes a hero. God needs heroes. God makes heroes. God prepares heroes. Verse 46, this is his reply. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and will take thine head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You talk about a hero. Remember what I read you about what a hero is? He didn't blink, brother. He faced them right up. He said, no, I'll be the one feeding the fowls with your body. He took no credit for what he was going to do. He gave all of the credit, all of the praise to God. That's a hero. Boy, do we need heroes. Boy, do we need moms and dads that are heroes. Do we need young people that are heroes. Families that are heroes and stand up for God. That he'll say what other people will not say. He'll see what other people do not see. He'll stand where no one else will stand. And don't take credit for what he was going to do. Look at verse 49. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, slang it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. What's in back of your forehead? Blood and brains. Amen. This thing knocked him completely out. And this 9-foot-9 monster fell. One stone took care of all that went before. A lot of times, a simple answer will be the answer to a great problem. Get back to basics. Know your Bible. Get some courage. Get some bravery. Be strong and of good courage. Go hiding. Look at verse 50 and 51. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine, slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine, got up there on his chest, and he took a sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines till they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way on the Sherechim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. That is, they took everything that was in their tents. The spoil goes to the victor. You know what? Every church needs a zero. God loves to do this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're about to close. One of these days. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's Paul saying in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God has made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." God loves to do this. Take a zero. Take a no name. Take somebody that's never been on the scene before. Walk up and be a hero and give the victory. Because God had prepared him years before. A hero. Will you be a hero? Will you be a no name, a zero? Nobody thinks anything of you. But God can use you no matter who you are. God loves to do that. How many know who Babe Ruth is? Everybody know Babe Ruth? 714 home runs. But he got old. During his baseball career, he did all of that and was playing one of his last full major league games. It was the Braves versus the Reds in Cincinnati. But the great Ruth was no longer as agile as he once had been. He fumbled the ball and threw badly. And in one inning alone, his errors were responsible for most of the 5 runs scored by Cincinnati. As the Babe walked off the field after the 3rd out and headed toward the dugout, a crescendo of yelling and booing reached his ears. Just then, a little boy jumped over the railing into the playing field with tears streaming down his face. He threw his arms around the legs of his hero. Ruth didn't hesitate for 1 second. He picked up the boy, hugged him, and set him down on his feet, patting his head gently. The noise from the stands came to an abrupt halt when they saw that. Suddenly there was no more booing. In fact, hush fell over the entire park, in whose brief moments the fans saw 2 heroes. Ruth, who in spite of his dismal day on the feet, could still care about a little boy, and the small lad who cared about the feelings of another human being, both had melted the hearts of the crowd. We can all be heroes. Seeing we're know nothings and nobody knows anything about us, God knows you. And there can be a big change in your heart and in your life if you allow the Lord to do it. Nobody knew that David was out in that field until the time came. There will be a time in your life where you'll remember what you learned at Country Bible Baptist Church. And an old preacher that cared more for you than you know. And you were in training to be a hero one day. I pray that you've learned from David and Goliath this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could study the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit could speak to us. May we not shun the Holy Spirit. May we have open arms to you, Lord, working within our hearts and our lives and our church. May we repent. May we change our mind. May we go ahead and let you make us the heroes you want us to be. Bless each one that will apply this message, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your handbooks, please. Number 220. Because, you know, David kept his eyes on God. He wasn't looking at the Goliath in fear. He feared God. He loved God. And he wasn't going to stand for what Goliath was giving out that day. God made him a hero. Finally, made him the king of Israel. Never know what's in the future, but you can do something about right now in your life. As we stand and sing this, if you need to come to the altar, now's the time to do it. Today could change your life. That's up to you. Let's stand as we sing. Number 220, won't you come as we sing. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We'll stop there. Anybody that was going to come would have come. I pray that you will get alone with God and that you'll take care of